ask a special interest in your prayers this morning. Lord, it gave me this burden many weeks ago and I wasn't sure when the Lord would have it. And this week, I believe the Lord just said this was the time. I am very interested in, and most of all the Lord is, He's interested in us building strong relationships. It seems like that our world is not valuing relationships very much. All we have to do is look at the divorce rate in our country and the rate of separation in marriages, and you can see the world must not be valuing the marriage relationship very much. I look at the number of brothers and sisters that don't talk to each other. They're separated. There's a wall. There's a division there. I look at the children and their parents, even in older age. I'm not talking about just in the home. But as they grow up and the children are adults, how many people are ostracized from each other? The Lord does not want that to be the reality in our lives as children of God. He wants us to build strong relationships. And so I'd like to talk about one of the keys this morning to building strong marriages, to building strong relationships with your parents and with your children, to having strong relationships in the body of Christ, in among people you work with. I'd like to begin over in the book of Matthew in the 18th chapter, and we're going to stay here in Matthew 18 this morning. We'll begin reading with the 21st verse. Peter came to Jesus and he asked a question. He said, Lord, he said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said, I say unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter asked a question. He said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? And it is sometimes easier in the flesh for people to leave a relationship than it is to forgive them. In other words, it's easier just to walk away. It's easier to just leave my brother completely. It's easier to walk away from the congregation. It's easier to walk away from my parents. It's easier to walk away from my children. It's easier to walk away from my husband and wife when we have been sinned against. It's easier just to walk away from them rather than to find a place of forgiveness. So Peter was asking, he said, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? Because the Jews, according to the Jewish law, in the Jewish custom, you had to forgive three times. So if someone does something once, okay, forgive them. And I grew up hearing that one time is an instance. Second time, you know, it's another incident. Third time, it becomes a pattern. And I think that's the reason why the Jews said you forgive three times. Because if it happens more than three times, you start wondering about the sincerity of the person. Are they going to change or not? So after you forgive them three times, the fourth time, walk away. You don't have to forgive anymore. You don't have to find a place of grace to put up with anymore. You don't have to let it go anymore. Let them go. Thank you. Well, Jesus had an answer to his question. Because see, when Peter said seven times, yes, seven in amongst the Hebrews, it was a perfect number. So Peter was already multiplying the number more than two. I'm not just asking three times like we've grown up knowing. He said seven times, Lord. I mean, we're going the extra mile here. And Jesus said, no. He said, I say unto you, seven times 70. That's 490 times. You know, if you have to forgive that many times, do you know what that tells me? The person that's committing the transgression probably, number one, isn't sorry. And number two, they're not changing. 490 times. What would it be like though this morning for those of us if our parents had cast us aside after three times of disobedience. After teenagers, after three times or seven times, you did the same thing wrong and your parents said, I'm not forgiving you. Seven times, I forgave you enough and walked away from us. Would any of us be here this morning? Would any of us have, would any of us have any relationship with our parents? I don't think we would, because all of us have done the same wrong thing as children more than seven times at some point or another. But I am thankful my parents forgave me. I'm thankful my parents gave another opportunity. And then you do it again, and guess what? They gave me another opportunity. How many opportunities did they give? Until it was corrected. And it didn't change their love. If we want to build strong relationships, this is the message from the Holy Spirit this morning. It is going to take forgiveness. Any meaningful relationship that you have, it's going to take forgiveness. And we say, how many times do we need to forgive? And my answer to you this morning is, according to the Scripture, as many times as there is a transgression. And we say that's hard, but thus is the nature of forgiveness. Jesus did not ask us to do anything except He gave us the grace to do it. So how should we forgive? How many? Forgiveness, see, is more than a one-time event, usually. So many times how many times then do we need to release that sense of judgment and actually let something go when someone has done something wrong to us? How often, because all of us have a sense of justice. We have this sense of that wasn't right, that was wrong. So how many times do we forgive someone that crosses that line? Jesus said 7 times 70. It wasn't the point of 490. It was the point of perfection times perfection. 7 times 70. As many times as it takes, forgive. That word forgive in the Greek means to lay aside. It means to forsake. It means to leave alone. It didn't mean leave your brother alone. See, that wasn't what it was. It was leave the transgression alone. Lay it down. Because I know there's a lot said about forgiveness, and there's no way we could cover in this message this morning all the intricacies of what it means and how it all works. But the point is, what it comes down to is, to forgive means to let go. Don't let the person go. Let the transgression go. And you say, but it was wrong. Yes, and that's why we need forgiveness. I don't know of any meaningful relationship that's worth anything that hasn't needed forgiveness. And so, it's not a one-time event. Too often times, though, people want to hold on to resentment. And they want to hold on to the hurt. And they want to hold on to the infraction. And it kind of feeds something in the flesh. Well, I am so thankful this morning. I mentioned my parents, but I am also thankful that the Lord Jesus did not lay me aside and forsake me and forsake our relationship every time I have fallen short. I am so thankful the Lord did not kick me out and say, Michael, I forgave you once and I forgave you twice, but you're coming back again? I'm sorry, it's over. The Lord is going to do everything He can to restore and maintain and build a relationship with us. That's the Lord. And He is asking the same thing of us this morning. And I will just speak very personally. I have been challenged through what the Lord has given. I've thought about some different situations and different things. The Lord is interested in relationships. It is God that gave you your brothers and sisters. It is God that gave you children. It is God that gave you parents. It doesn't matter how old you are. You have parents, you have children, you have brothers and sisters. Some are in the home and some are outside the home. It is God that made the institution of marriage. That's God gave you. Are we going to count that lightly then? The world counts it lightly. The world is not fighting to build relationships that have been where there has been hurt, where there has been pain, where there has been disobedience, where there has been betrayal. But Jesus called us to something else. He called us to build in the relationships that He has ordained. And He said, you need to forgive. Forgiveness happens more than once then. And the Lord has forgiven each one of us of so much. It wasn't just the major infractions. You know the Lord did that with our sin. But do you know the Lord forgives us of our weaknesses? Sometimes we call them personality flaws or personality weaknesses. How many times have we come back to the Lord and said, Lord, Michael just got in the way again. I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord forgave us. He let it go. He let it go. Well, do you know the Lord, and I am so convinced of it this morning, the Lord is asking me and He's asking you to let it go. Forgive. If you have a relationship this morning that has been broken, can you let the sin and the fault and the mistakes, even where there is hurt and where there is pain, can you be willing this morning to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am willing to let it go because I want to build and strengthen my relationship. So Jesus illustrated it this way. He said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is likened unto a certain king which took account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon one, and one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents, but forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, would you have patience on me? And I will pay thee. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And he loosed him and forgave him his debt. And he released him from the obligation. In other words, I'm not going to require anything of you. You know that's what forgiveness does? I'm not holding it over your head anymore. I release you of the obligation. Husbands and wives this morning, I don't know, maybe it's easier to preach to an empty chapel this morning. But husbands and wives, are you holding something on your spouse that's hindering your relationship because they did this or they did that? It might be a major betrayal, or it could be as much as they keep doing the same thing over, and that's kind of who they are, and it takes forgiveness every day. Are you willing to let that go for the sake of your relationship that God gave you? Brothers and sisters, are you willing to let what your brother or sister did to you that seems so wrong and unjust? Are you willing to do what the Lord is asking us to do and let it go? The master here, he said, I release you from the obligation. But that same servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, which was just nothing compared to the debt that he had just been released from. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat. And he said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down and besought him and said, would you have patience on me and I will pay thee all. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Would you just have patience? I will pay you. And he would not, but he went and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when the fellow servants, the others around, saw it, they went and they told the Lord what was done. And after his Lord heard that, he called unto him and said, thou wicked servant, he said, I forgave thee all the debt because you desiredst me. You asked me, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. And this was what Jesus said then, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That brother can take on a lot of different names this morning. But people that you have or have had in the past relationships with, Jesus said, if you do not forgive them and release the debt that they owe, he said, I won't forgive you. You see, then forgiveness this morning is not just an elective thing for God's children. It's a requirement. So what brother or sister does not need our forgiveness? I know sometimes there can be hurts in homes and there can be hurts in families. Sometimes when you're all in the home and after you grow up, there can be hurts that take place. Are we willing this morning to let the hurts go? Because see, a lot of times those things are misunderstandings. They're things that maybe from your perspective, they were the one that was wrong. But do you know oftentimes they may be looking at you thinking you're the one that was wrong. So who's going to start? It really doesn't matter whether my brother or sister comes and says, Michael, I'm really sorry. The Bible tells me you forgive. You let go. In other words, you value the relationship. This is your brother. This is your sister. It might be in the Lord. This might be someone you work with. But can you not value the relationship more than the infraction? And the flesh says, well, they sure don't value the relationship because look what they said about me. Or look what they did. Or look how they misrepresented me. Or look how they betrayed me. And the Lord is saying this morning, He's saying, I want you to forgive. I want you to let it go. Don't walk away from the relationships that God has put in your life. I want to challenge you this morning. Find a place of forgiveness because the Lord has forgiven all of us of so much. He's forgiven us of so much. How can we do less with one another? How can we do less? The debt that the first servant owed was just insignificant to the debt that the master had forgiven him. God has forgiven us of so much more than we could ever even face between the problems that come in relationships in this life. And too many times, they are sometimes small things that divide and split up and break up relationships. They're small things. Are we willing to let go? Are we willing to commit it to the Lord and move on and still seek after relationship? You see, pain and hurt is a reality. It's a reality. When you have really been betrayed and misrepresented, or someone was not diligent or faithful to you in that relationship, it can make you sick to the stomach. It can cause sleepless nights. It can cause the tears to flow. And it can cause anger. And it can cause a vast array of emotions. Do you know that just because we serve the Lord this morning does not make us exempt from those things? That pain in the stomach that lasts for days and weeks and months because of the hurt, because of the pain. But forgiveness is not, and this is where the world has focused so much on emotion. Because emotion is real. But forgiveness is not about emotion. Forgiveness is about a choice to let go. And I have found grace from God to forgive with the pain in my stomach. And you know, even as I preach this to you all, the Lord's been preaching this to me for quite a while. I've got pain in my stomach. There's some hurts, but do you know the Lord says, forgive and let it go and foster and build and strengthen relationships. So forgiveness is a conscious decision to lay down the penalty of really what someone else might deserve. The justice, the wrong that they committed. And forgiveness enables a relationship to not be broken. You see, when there is wrong that happens, yes, it affects a relationship. But don't break the relationship. See, even if what they did seemed to put distance in it, don't sever the relationship. Don't walk away from the relationship. Don't stop talking to your brother or to your sister. Don't say, I will never talk to my mother again. I will never talk to my father again. I will not ever go back to church again with those people. Why? Because God's forgiven us of so much. Value relationship. The relationship that God has given us is worth more than the betrayals and the hurts and the pains, and sometimes it's just annoyances that we all wear on one another sometimes. So see, forgiveness, how often do we need to forgive? As often as it takes. Sometimes that's every few years with some situations. Sometimes it's once in a lifetime, but it's big enough to break a relationship unless you find a place of forgiveness like the Lord taught us. And sometimes it's daily forgiveness. Just little things. You know, there's a place sometimes that forgiveness has to do with accepting the imperfections of someone else. I told my wife recently there was something when we were kind of our marriage challenge to give out compliments. I gave her a compliment about something that it would have been very difficult for me if she didn't have that quality. And I look at others and I think, wow, how do they do it? I know how they do it. Because in every marriage, there are things that you just need to let go. Because we're all different people, brothers and sisters, different personalities, different perspectives. So then how can you get along and still have a strong relationship? We sometimes don't label it forgiveness, but that's really what it is. It's letting it go, and I'm not going to dwell on that personality trait that would really just, in just common speak, it would drive me crazy. It would just be so difficult every day. It would be an annoyance. But you know what? If that's the way that they are, and maybe they just don't see it like I do, or that's not their strength, then can we not let it go and not dwell on it? Because forgiveness is not about dwelling on it over and over and over. Forgiveness is about releasing it and moving forward, even without change. Even without change, they're not changing, but the relationship is worth investing in. Your marriage, your relationship in the congregation, your relationship in the body of Christ, your relationship with each other, with your parents, it's worth investing in. And even if there have been wrongs done, or maybe it's just those daily annoyances, are we going to separate because of that, or can we forgive and then move on, and we don't even think about it as forgiveness anymore? It's kind of like if there's a man that always dropped his socks, dirty socks, on the floor and didn't pick up after himself. My advice to that husband would be, pick up your socks. You know, you're sloppy. Pick up your socks and don't make your wife pick up your dirty socks. But you know, if it's not dirty socks, it might be something else. And the point being is that if he tries, but it's just this bad habit and he's not changing, at what point does the wife let that interrupt and disturb their relationship every single day when she picks up his dirty socks? Or she may just not pick them up and the pile grows. But how is that worth? Is that worth stress in the relationship? Are dirty socks worth a wedge in a relationship? I say it's not worth it. So then she can forgive him every day when she picks up the dirty socks. Again, the man needs to work on that. But you know, there are some things that in our marriages we've been working on for years and we're still working. But what does our companion do with us while we're working on it? They say there's not a lot of change going on. It means there's daily forgiveness going on. There's daily, I'm going to release that because I value you. I love you. I care for you. So if there's a problem here and you don't understand me, or I don't understand you, or I'm not meeting your need like you want, forgiveness. Because the relationship is worth more than what that place that needs to be forgiven is. So this applies to every meaningful relationship. And if there can this morning, if this can just give some ammunition, some food for thought, that the Spirit of the Lord can start working in your heart and your mind, Forgiveness is a necessity in building strong relationships. We say, well, Brother Michael, communication and love and all those are all important too. But a key to strong relationships is forgiveness. Day after day, week after week, whether it's a horrible sin or whether it's just a dirty sock on the floor or maybe it's just not being ready on time. That was actually the thing I told my wife. I said, Renee, thank you so much. You're on time and I don't have to wait for you when we go places and we've got deadlines and we're supposed to be. I said, thank you for being ready. That means so much to me. But do you know what? If she wasn't, and maybe that's your struggle. God has grace for you because I need to turn this around so I'm not saying anything negative about my wife. Do you know that the Lord's going to have to give her grace for some of my attributes? And I can hear my brother and sister amen in that one. But do you know this morning that there are attributes in all of us that you just have to realize that, you know what, that might be a struggle for them. So maybe I might be on time, but I've got another struggle that for you might come so easily. So how do we deal with those things? Forgiveness. Day after day. And don't dwell on it. There was an author, it's a kind of a big name preacher in our world. I disagree with him about a lot of things. They don't teach holiness. They don't preach holiness. They don't take a stand. But I thought it was interesting what they said on this subject about marriage. They said, your marriage may be about to self-destruct, not because of hurt, but because of the unforgiveness. It's not the hurt, but the refusal to forgive that destroys a marriage. So what the world then today calls irreconcilable differences, even in some really extreme cases, a lot of times marriages are self-destructing, not just because of the hurt or because of the deed itself, it's because of unforgiveness. Key to strong marriages, key to strong relationships with parents and with siblings in the congregation, it's forgiveness. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't hold it against me? Don't hold it against me. Well, think, well, if you know differently, then do differently, right? So how many times do we have to keep forgiving someone when they know it's a problem? The answer to that, again, is as many times as it takes. As many times as they keep doing it, folks, let's keep forgiving. Don't hold it against them because the relationship is worth more. They didn't ask my forgiveness. They didn't ask. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you forgive them. You release it. You let it go. So as often this morning as we feel hurt and feel pain and feel betrayal and even resentment, we need to make a conscious choice and a conscious decision before the Lord to let it go and ask Him for grace and mercy and help our love to be more, to give us greater grace that we can move forward in building the relationship and not letting the pain and the hurt and the betrayal and maybe the annoyances separate relationships. And you say, but they don't deserve it. Thus the nature of forgiveness. God has forgiven us of so much more than we'll ever have to forgive each other. So are we going to all walk away from each other? You know, one of the pop psychologist that's still on the radio today, I heard they hadn't spoken to their mother for years and years and years. And I thought, that's sad. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't wait for the lost years, for reconciliation right before someone dies, or in old age come and say, you know what, I forgive you, or I'm sorry, or don't wait for lost years. Let's do it now. Let's forgive now. Let's renew and restore and value the relationship. The scripture says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving who? One another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He let it go. He let it go. Well, about the time you think you're having to forgive your brother, guess what he's having to do with you? He's having to forgive you too. And so that's part of life. This is the point. It's part of strong relationships is we're forgiving one another. How often? Quite frequently sometimes. But the relationship is worth more. So with personality differences, whether it's intentional pain, see, that's when it's harder. They did it intentionally. But the relationship is still worth more. Forgive. Let it go. Give it to the Lord. Value the relationship. Different personalities. You know, it's easy sometimes for us to focus on what they need to do. The Lord wants us to turn that around this morning and say, what can I do? What can I do to strengthen this relationship? Well, if they would do this and they would do that, then it would make it easy for me. This isn't about being easy for me. This is about pleasing God. But in pleasing God, folks, our relationships would be a lot stronger. They'd be a lot stronger if people would approach relationships this way. I'm going to come to a conclusion shortly, but I want to ask us a question this morning. Was it even possible for Adam and Eve to have had a good marriage? I've been thinking about that for a few weeks. Was that even possible? Because Eve, she did really bad. She brought sin. Can you not see Adam? And Adam followed her. But can you see Adam out sweating and toiling in the heat of the day, not able to be in the Garden of Eden anymore? Who do you think he's thinking about every time he's pulling a weed or hacking down something or working hard? Eve. If Eve wouldn't have done that, resentment. Justifiably. I think it was possible for them to have had a good marriage, but it only would have come by forgiveness. And Eve, on the other hand, as she was in the pain of childbirth and the other things that came with the curse. Adam, if you just would have stood up and put your foot down and been a man and told me, Eve, no, we're not going to do it. If you would have just been a man and been the husband you should have been, then we wouldn't be in this place today. Forgiveness. I believe forgiveness covers a multitude of sin that even with horrible things that can happen in life, that the Lord wants to bind up and restore relationships. I trust you'll get the burden this morning because, see, it would have been easy for them, and some have heard the story about the man that was out with his friends and came home late to dinner, and then it happened again, and his wife finally walked in one evening, and his wife went historical on him. In other words, she didn't go hysterical, she went historical. You did this, and you did it this time, and you were late this night, and you were late this. That's what Adam and Eve could have done. You know that when we forgive, we don't go historical. Well, you did this, and this time you did that, and I had to forgive you then, and you hurt me here, and you hurt. Forgiveness is letting it go. God can get it out of His mind. I know we're not God, and sometimes the memory's still there, but folks, when we stop feeding it, and we choose to forgive and let go, that's when healing can begin to ensue. And sometimes the wound is fresh when the person does it again. But we still forgive, because the relationship is worth more. In the family unit this morning, I'd like to encourage us to not build walls. Little resentments, little hurts, or maybe big ones, horrible betrayals, but whatever the case might be, folks, forgiveness can start tearing the walls down. It can start tearing the walls down, but too many times people are just holding on. You say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. Who does feel like forgiving? It's not about feelings, it's about a decision through the grace of God to do the right thing. Forgiveness is not elective then this morning. Unforgiveness, in closing, unforgiveness is what keeps us chained to the past. It keeps us chained to the past. But when we let go, it enables us to move forward and to grow. And if that means year by year or moment by moment, whatever the case might be, forgive as much as you need to keep, maintain, repair, and restore relationships that are in your life. May God bless each one of you with special grace this week as you reflect on your relationships. But forgiveness is a key to strong marriages, to strong relationships in the home and in the church and even out in the world. Forgiveness, the Lord has called us to it. So God bless you.